This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. With the light snow coming down in Minneapolis, St. Paul, it is the Matt McNeil Show on your Wednesday. Matt and Brett here. Hello, Brett. How are we?
Yeah, good. How about you?
I'm okay. Did you get that snake that was down here?
I think he's gone now, but I've seen multiple snakes down here.
Hey, so. We are on the beautiful outskirts of Bryant Lake here. And we have a unique little problem is that the snakes of the area want to come on in here and winter inside the studio. Who doesn't? I mean, this place is a delight. Anywho, so we get some garter snakes here. By the way, can we put a dock out on Bryant, man, from our radio station?
I don't know if you'd want to be going in. I'm not okay.
We have to do like one of those rich guy out on Lake Minnetonka, cut through the wetlands thing to put it up.
Yeah.
But we could put a boat out there. At least get some fishing.
Mm-hmm. Set up a little remote studio on the boat.
My Cedric Adams is my great uncle. That's Cedric Adams. I know. I have no idea where the talent went. It just didn't come down this line. Anyway. Cedric Adams was my great uncle. He had, when he was broadcasting, I think it was for CCO back then, he had a radio broadcast set up on his boat. He would be out on Minnetonka and he'd be able to do his show out there.
Back in those days, they had the technology to do it.
It's got to be one of those old original Marty systems. Now, the question I have is, okay, would the water help you or would that hurt you with one of those things? Because I think it could go either way.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably broadcast all the way to Europe if it was just the right conditions. But, you know, yeah, he used to do that. I was always wondering whatever happened to that boat. That would be amazing to have because I would not be here in the studio starting March, really, well, May 1st. I'd be in the portable studio. Out on one of the lakes.
I know Robert Pilot would be joining you, too.
Oh, gosh. Why? Wait. Have you seen the snake problem here at the station? I'm going on the boat, man. Okay, so I've got to start off with this. A quick little reminder. We do not have Jeff Stein today. I don't know what he's doing down there in his Iowa stuff. Predictable. But we do have a pretty solid replacement in Cliff Schechter. He is kind enough to join us again today. 4:05, we will talk with him. So, a lot of people have pointed this out that has been going on. A little bit interesting. We're going to play this. This is, I guess, on the bill regarding stopping people from purposely lying about election information 2 months out from the election. You guys talked about it. You and Cooligan yesterday talked about that bill, right?
Yeah. It's an interesting bill. Yeah.
Well, and the concept is pretty solid that you basically do not, you know, allow. It's illegal. It'd be illegal in Minnesota to go on out there and lie about the election, that you can't say, oh, you can remember to vote on Wednesday the 7th or something like that. You can't say that, or you can't say that, people can't vote like this. You can't intentionally put out lies, that it would be against the law. So that's what I'm presuming this is about. And we are about to get delighted to, this is a Representative Dwayne Quam. Is the Republican. I think you'll be able to figure out which one this is in just a second. Go ahead. Whenever you're ready, Brett, let's play this little clip.
If Representative Quam would like a whole laundry list, the checklist that our county elections administrators come through to talk about the security of the equipment, we've already heard about that in committee. But if they need a reminder, that's fine. I'm sure that we have experts in this room that can talk about that checklist that they go through to make sure that our elections are secure.
Sure. I will ask Representative Frederick, and Representative Quam, I will ask the Secretary of State's office to provide us with a checklist of the checks and balances, and I will make sure it gets provided to committee members.
But there's more than the checks.
Representative Quam,
then haul me out of the committee if you're not going to allow us to actually debate the darn bill.
Representative Altendorf, you have a question.
Mr. Chair, you need to let us.
Representative Quam, stop it.
No, I will not allow you to ignore valid questions. I didn't even get the answer to my first question. He said, oh, no follow-ups. You need to actually cover the bill.
Representative Quam, you,
you didn't talk about all of the things that we got with observers and challengers. You have not talked about the fact that you don't have the balance between the two parties and election judges. You have a lot of stuff that's not explained, and this is not a trivial change. And if you don't care about the quality of the bills that you include, then you really, really are not doing the service to the citizens of the state of Minnesota. And I will not sit here to a travesty of pushing through stuff that there's not the details, the author can't answer questions, and you obfuscate and don't allow us
to answer. He doesn't say nothing.
Motives, you are creating a
no, I am asked, I am pointing out the obvious.
Okay.
I am pointing out the obvious.
The motion was to lay the bill over, so Representative Frederick has renewed the motion that House File 550 has amended.
Cut off
laid over
questions, ignore valid concerns,
the bill is laid over.
And you just have a...
Okay, I'm going to turn over the chair to Vice Chair Greenman. Good luck with this one, Representative Greenman.
That's Representative Dwayne Quam, Republican, District 24A. Now, before I get into you got his boo-boo key feeling shirt. Oh, you fat ass. I mean, by God, man. Oh, just because he does look like actually, well, he doesn't look like Big Boy. He looks like Big Boy's kind of mean-spirited older brother, you know. It's just, you know, the guy that was giving Big Boy his wedgies, you know, it is just sort of, it's, he's not a pretty man. I mean, it really, most people have a defined neck. Anyway, no, I don't want to necessarily get into the beauty qualities of Mr. Quam, especially when he's such a fragile little creature right now. This is a delicate, Dwayne's a delicate little flower. But if I can point out two things, this is Dwayne's seventh term in the Minnesota House, which means he was there when the Republicans were last in charge, when Kurt Dowd put in a mute button, and the speaker's chair, which he used to turn off Democrats' mics when he did not want to hear them, as he sits there. And by the way, I had someone mention to me, the Republicans all knew the mute button was there. They laughed about it behind the scenes. I had someone who works up there say to me a few years ago, say, oh yeah, they knew it was there. They knew the mute button was there. They all thought it was hilarious that the Democrats can't talk. So when our delicate little flower, that is Dwayne Quam, sits there and talks about ignoring valid questions. Reminder, he was part of the political party that put a mute button into the speaker's chair when they were in charge to stop the Democrats from asking, let me check my notes, valid questions. You're a massive hypocrite, you whining little crybaby. Now, if I could also mention this nugget, just a little nugget here for weepy Quam here. I think he's ready for his juice box and a nap. I think that's really what we can. Can we get Representative Quam a juice box? Can we get you? You whiny little, the same exact Republicans. I don't know if you remember October of last year. It was a hoot. Because back then, the Republicans in the state thought they were going to sweep all the offices. Good times. How did that go again? Oh, that's right. You lost every major office. You lost the Senate. You lost the House. You lost the governorship. But hey, good luck next time. In October of last year, Republicans were out at their little rallies, their little gatherings, out there proudly talking about how we're going to jam our agenda down those Democrats' throats and they're going to have to like it. I remember that, you whiny little... Yeah. You remember that, Dwayne? I don't want to call you Dwayne the Rock, but I got one that rhymes with rock. Anyway, no, okay. Can I say that? I don't think I can say that nickname on the air. Dwayne the... No, I don't... That's kind of like virile. Okay, never mind. No, no, it's... No, no, not that. Dwayne the... Quam. I'm going to keep that. That's the nickname. Dwayne the Quam. Not the Rock, but kind of similar. Well, not really. You guys all bragged about how you were going to force your agenda down the Democrats' throats. Remember that? I remember that. You're all talking about your high five and red tsunami, red tsunami, red tsunami. Remember that? I remember that. And here you are now. And you asked a question. And by the way, if you play the beginning of that question, can you do that again before you get into Quam's temper tantrum? Play the beginning of it and listen to the tone of the guy who's answering, because clearly this is something that's already been answered multiple times. Take a listen to this really quick.
If Representative Quam would like a whole laundry list, the checklist that our county elections administrators come through to talk about the security of the equipment, we've already heard about that in committee. But if they need a reminder, that's fine. I'm sure that we have experts in this room that can talk about that checklist that they go through to make sure that our...
Okay, so what are you hearing there is this. We already discussed Quam's question, so he wasn't paying attention earlier. Right? I mean, he asked a question saying, we've already gone over all this. We can get... And nobody there... I mean, can you play it again right from that point? Can you just hit start again on that?
Yeah, from where we just...
Yeah, just hit start again.
Representative Quam, I will ask the Secretary of State's office to provide us with a checklist of the checks and balances.
That's Freiberg right there. That's Freiberg on that, basically stating that he is this is Representative Mike Freiberg basically stating, okay, we've already heard this. We've already been told about this. You've asked something that's repetitive, but... The speaker says, we'll get you all the information we need. We have experts right here that can talk to you if you need to hear it. The chair of the committee says, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll talk to the Secretary of State's office. We'll get you all the information you need. And then he blows it because he just loses it because he can't turn this. Because, okay, let's just make sure we understand this. If this is the bill, and I'm almost positive this is the bill about lying about political things prior to an election. He clearly is concerned about people not having the right to openly lie and, you know, disguise things or make things up or any of that case. I mean, that's kind of how I'm taking it, if that is the bill. And he's acting like this is that making sure people can openly deceive others about an election, that's apparently a bridge too far, if that is indeed the case of what we're talking about here. And he just loses it because he can't do his OAN, you know, the Fox News rant-orific about how I'm going to put you in your place. Because they got to get onto other business, and Dwayne is throwing a temper tantrum. Oh, I mean, you know, if, you know, I had kids too, when their diaper gets soiled, you know, it's always a tough time. You know, they get a little cranky. You know, I can see that. I have no idea if Representative Quam's wearing a diaper, but I'm just saying I've seen this kind of behavior before with my 2-year-old when their diaper needed to get changed. Bet you feel like you accomplished something there, didn't you there, Dwayne? The Quam. Oh, God. Are you sure I can't say that nickname? Brett, can we check with you? Is that one I can say or no?
You cannot.
No, I can't. Dwayne. The Quam. Grow the hell up, you pathetic human. You were there when you Republicans were getting those Democrats with that mute button. You were. And you never once walked up to the speaker who was in your own party saying, what the heck are you doing? We need to allow valid questions. Nope. You didn't do that. And you sat there, and when you were all full of vinegar, thinking that you guys were going to be in control of everything going on there at the state capitol, you guys were constantly talking about how you're going to jam this down their throat, jam this down their throat. It is pathetic. I think this is pathetic. Anyway, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. We might actually get Cliff in here in just a second. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Reminded me, Dwayne Quam is someone we've actually talked about before. Where this was back 2018, right?
Yeah, he was having a debate with his Democratic opponent, and he basically snatched the microphone out of her hand during the middle of the debate.
That's right, and didn't allow her to have her valid question. But now all of a sudden, Dwayne, I'll tell you what, when we get to the next commercial break, I'm going to pull that up and I'll reread that story, because how appropriate is that? Here is Dwayne Quam. Once again, was a House rep when Kurt Dowd had the mute button in the speaker's pulpit, was part of that Republican Party that was screaming about how they were going to jam everything down those Republicans' throats the entire time, or down the Democrats' throats the entire time in October before they lost. And that's right. If he was the guy that ripped a microphone out of his opponent's hand, then what a whiny little biatch is he. What a whiner. You're persecuting me. You're persecuting me. Oh, just precious. Just precious. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Why don't you try to give him another ring here? See, we might actually have Cliff Schechter right now here. We'll get back to that. I will say this is a good chance for you to tell you about Todd Colid. Todd is sponsoring AM 950 this whole week. And we're very grateful that he is. He, of course, is a listener, a longtime listener. He used to live here in Minneapolis, moved to Spain. He's not able to visit our sponsors conveniently. And so he sponsors the radio station. He still listens to us overseas. Hola, I believe that's Spain. I'm not the most bilingual human being, but hello. You can go, of course, you can too find out more information about sponsoring the radio station as well. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 is the phone number. Todd actually is an absolute angel of a human being. He has been working with a group, Paul Nyland and his group, out in Ukraine. It's called Lifeline Ukraine. And it is a organization which is offering mental health and suicide prevention services in Ukraine right now. And obviously, you can imagine the need there is insane. It's absolutely insane. So you basically, you can help out. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to make a donation because obviously it takes a lot of time. I mean, for goodness sakes, they got to keep phone lines open. They got to keep cell phone towers working. They've got to be able to get out there and connect to the people. It's very difficult, and you can help make sure Lifeline Ukraine is operating. Go to Lifeline Ukraine. I've put a link up on the social media. I'll put it up again tonight. Make a donation if you can. Help out the people of Ukraine because it's stuff like this. I mean, obviously, they're making the appeals for stuff like tanks and weapons and stuff of that nature. But it's the same time. It's the same exact thing as these day-to-day things. Food, medicine, counseling. These are the things that they need as well. So if you can help out, Lifeline Ukraine is the place to go. We are lucky because I screwed up here. Cliff, you wanna take me to task here? I screwed up. I screwed up the time zone thing, man. I'm sorry.
Dude, you think I would take you to task? Like, I'm sitting here reading things about these right-wing things. I won't call them on your show so that you don't get fined. And, all the nuttery. I was just reading about Ron DeSantis in Guantanamo volunteering because he wanted to be there because he enjoyed sitting there. And actually, at one point, somebody was saying he was laughing at some of the folks being tortured. And, yeah, I'm not taking you to task over the fact that you and I crossed lines on what hour is supposed to go on. Like when we've got people that literally are sociopaths that are in some of the highest offices in our country. So
Cliff Schechter is the best-selling author, ad writer for Joe Biden's presidential campaign in 2020. In 2022, his Blue Amp Action email list raised over $850,000 for Democratic candidates and progressive organizations. He hosts the exceptional Blue Amp YouTube channel, which I post a lot, where you can find humorous and cutting takedowns that have gone viral, and you can subscribe at his – I'll put it up there again today. You need to subscribe. There. Did you see the thing, by the way, you mentioned DeSantis. Did you see him that all of a sudden that if Djokovic, the tennis player, does he's being denied entry because he's not vaccinated into the country, he has vowed that if Djokovic gets to the Bahamas, he'll send a boat and bring him on in. So I think this is good news for everyone on the southern border. If you can play tennis, Ron DeSantis will personally make sure you can get into the United States.
I mean, it's just another reminder that these people, that it's all performance. They don't believe in a damn thing. I mean, you know, here you are. You spend, you know, all your time, all of them, right? It's one of their obsessive things, which I'm sure it plays well in polling. And we know it's worked for the fascist right-wing parties in Europe to go after immigrants, right? And so they've in the last, since the days of George W. Bush, when they were much more pro-immigration, have turned in this nasty, Pat Buchanan-esque, vicious direction. And yet there you go. It means nothing because the minute like you're somebody they like, whatever they claim is true, whatever they claim to hate, doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've in certain circles, if you've rejected Jesus because you're Jewish or Muslim or whatever, you're horrible. But the minute you're somebody who's supporting their cause, come on board, Jews and Muslims. You know,
yeah.
You're gay. They're criticizing you and calling you a groomer. But hey, if you're Richard Grenell, you know, go be our ambassador to Germany. I mean, like, there's nothing they actually, even the hateful things, they don't really believe half the time. I mean, I think some of them probably do, but it's all just, it doesn't matter. It's really just, are you on my side? Can you corrupt the government in a way that's good for me, power-wise, fame-wise, money-wise? I mean, it's such base humanity
mm-hmm.
is where this party is at. It's just amazing. They stand for nothing.
You had an exceptional thread up on Twitter talking about the misinformation that's out there. And that's, I mean, I want to spend most of the time, I wanted to talk about that, especially with all the news that's breaking about what's going on at Fox, because the reality is we have to come to grips with, and I made this post today in regards to the fact that Jared Kushner apparently was working hand in hand with Rupert Murdoch to basically coordinate between the campaign and a quote news network. Imagine if the Republican Party and right-leaning news media, which is most of it in this country, would be like right now if it was discovered they had proof of Hunter Biden acted as a coordinator intermediary between Biden and MSNBC, what they would be like right now. If you want to see how pro-Republican our news media is, this is insanely shocking. An actual news medium, the number one news network on cable TV, openly working with one campaign to unseat the other ones and spread disinformation. It's not just you. You bring up your thread, brings up the post up on YouTube, and that's still out there. But this is just a coordinated campaign of, unless you can, there's no way you can stop us. We're just going to continue to lie.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, one of my things that I've spoken about forever is this exact thing, right? Is right-wing media, quote unquote, right-wing misinformation, you know, the lies that they tell, and the fact that how it alters and really destroys our discourse and our politics. I mean, you know, I wrote a piece in the New York Times about that year I spent as the liberal, quote unquote, analyst at Sinclair and what I saw there about how they cheated. So none of this shocks me. I mean, I was at Sinclair when they wouldn't let their reporter that went to Iraq tell any of the bad news, just the good news about Iraq, right? And I mean, this, like, right-wing media is not media. It's propaganda. I mean, there may be a couple exceptions here and there that are just sort of center-right, you know, kind of thought magazines and whatever. But Fox is all a hallmark of, like, the worst propaganda. And pick your place, right? I mean, Nazi Germany may be charged. Fine. I don't know. Rwanda, you know, Bosnia. I mean, pick wherever. Stalin's, you know, Russia. Like, it is part of the party. The party is everything. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And everything else, as we were talking about with DeSantis, whatever, can you know, none of that stuff is what they care about in the end. It's all about power and control and marginalizing people. And like you said it there, Laura Ingraham went to a Trump watch party for his victory, so-called victory, you know, in 2020. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Fox created the Tea Party in 2010. Fox biased everybody in the you know, Brooks Brothers riot back in 2000. There's numerous cases of, you know, Bush's cousin John Ellis called Florida for him early. He had Bush's cousin working at Fox. You know what I mean? And you can go Sean Hannity doing Republican events and giving donations. I mean, this has never been a news station. And we all just want to prance around and pretend that it is. It's a joke. And it you know, how much evidence do we need of how much this is hurting us as a country, damaging us, dividing us, and the rest, mm-hmm. before we're willing to say, you don't get to just call yourself news. The White House Correspondents Association should revoke their pass. They should not be allowed in the White House. And frankly, every time, you know, anybody responds to them from the Biden administration or Congress, where the response should be, well, I've seen, you know, the question is blah, 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 blah. Well, if you've seen Tucker Carlson's text, then we know that you're not really a news organization. You coordinate with the Republican Party. You implant right-wing talking points. I'm not answering your question because you're not news. And that really should be, no one should take them seriously or answer them.
You should. And you should throw it back in all these hosts' faces. Let me, if I can, just break down once again. And for people out there, if you're wondering, all right, we're not journalists per se. I'm a talking chimp, you know, and I would call, you know, Cliff one of the best pundits out there, one of the best, you know, commentators that are out there on politics. If you're a journalist, it's dishonest. The other day they did a story where they didn't talk about how Trump was saying I could solve the Ukrainian problem, but they omitted the fact that he was willing to sacrifice large portions of Ukraine to Russia to end the war. They omitted that part out. Well, that's somewhat dishonest, but that's not necessarily bad. It's a huge jump from that to what they're doing. They know they're lying. They know that there are what actually happened. They not only refused to report the truth, even though they knew it, that they actually were punishing people that were challenging the truth. And then on top of it, it gets even worse with this direct coordination between the owner of the network and a presidential campaign. This is not a news network. And as a matter of fact, I think we actually have to ask the question now, how much, I mean, could we actually charge them under conspiracy charges with January 6th? Because they knowingly were putting out that information. And let's face it, most of the people that were there were kind of at the encouragement of Fox News and their hosts.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a lawyer, but I do ask at times, I don't know what the hell Merrick Garland is doing. Again, I've tried to be patient, like I think a lot of people have. But you look at certain other countries, and I get it, we believe very much in due process, but some of these other countries are democracies. And you see, like, people in Brazil for trying a coup be arrested immediately, you know? Uh-huh. Or I don't know what the hell we're doing anymore. But it certainly seems like nobody on the right ever is held accountable for almost anything. Matt Gaetz, you know, well, I guess they're not pursuing charges against him. I mean, at least, you know, on sex trafficking, I mean, at least in some cases it was, okay, we just don't have enough. But here we are. It's a couple of years later. I mean, the Mueller report teed up stuff for Garland and nothing there. So I wish I had more faith because you're right. How is it that this is – how is it that what they did isn't conspiracy? But also, this is like they broke federal election law. There's no doubt that what Murdoch did was an in-kind contribution. So he broke election law. And you would think there would at least be consequences for that. But, like, why is it that I have no confidence that there will be any consequences? I mean, it drives me insane, you know? I mean, yeah. If we never hold any of these people accountable, history will tell you again and again. Adolf Hitler tried a coup in 1923. He even went to prison, but they let him out early. Guess what? He came back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people, they're not satisfied when, you know, you need to treat them like what they are. They're traitors and criminals. And they need to be held accountable. I don't care if they're wealthy. I don't care what their position is in society. I don't care if they've been president before. I don't care about any of that. We're supposed to have equal justice in this country. And, like, I'm really losing patience with Merrick Garland in a pretty serious way. I don't know what the hell is going on. I just know that all the foot soldiers from January 6th are being arrested. But where are the rest of them? Like, they're sitting there in Congress. I mean, we've got literal traitors sitting in Congress undermining our government.
Well, and it comes down to Perry's cell phone, which it sounds like. And Perry's cell phone's got all the evidence on it. I mean, he wasn't smart enough to delete it all, I guess. And so that's the question, if that comes on out. But I agree with you. I mean, at this point, there should be charges being filed. And it just almost feels like there are people are waiting for, well, if, you know, they're, you know, and this is not wishing for it. They're waiting for Trump to die. Then Trump dies and everyone can say, well, it was clearly Trump was doing it. I think we don't need to do any more. And that's kind of, it just seems like that's the path that they're taking to try to find justice. And that's not giving anyone justice. Can I ask you, your thread here brings up a concern as well. And I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube. Sure, I watch, you know, clips here and there, watch your clips, a few other things. But I'm not a creator. I'm not doing things on there. You bring up the fact that there is a lot of misinformation that is clearly a lie, but YouTube is not taking it down. And I think that's, you know, in this day and age, I mean, as much as Republicans like to scream they're being silenced, the reality is they've got tons of, you know, voices on social media. They're out there all the time making these lies, and there seems to be less and less accountability for their lies.
I know. I mean, yeah, and the sad thing, I mean, YouTube is the best of any of them. Like, obviously, Elon Musk is a lunatic, doesn't care. You know, I mean, I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is about profits, it seems to me. At least the whole company, Facebook, Meta, whatever they call themselves these days, are about that. I mean, YouTube at least has this supposed policy, right? You're not supposed to, and this is what that thread was about, because my channel got hit with a strike, which meant I'm not allowed to put anything up there for a week. And the reason that happened is because we had an interview where we were debunking, being the key word, election misinformation, lies, attacks on our democracy by Trump and his acolytes, John Eastman, that lying lawyer, to be specific. And the response of YouTube's algorithm was, you know, so if I said something like, these people are horrible, they're committing, you know, they're sharing election misinformation, they're liars, whatever, all YouTube's algorithm heard was election misinformation and decided I must be doing that. Mm-hmm. And so my channel gets taken down for a week, and I'm like, are you guys kidding me? Like, are you insane? What is wrong with you? You know, like, I'm glad that you're trying, but you can't get a more sophisticated algorithm or something, or people to review something so that you can tell the difference between people that are sharing this kind of stuff and debunking it. I mean, what is, you know, that's going to mean that it's a chilling effect because people are scared to, there's certain words, like, you know, I knew this when I started my channel, Ku Klux Klan, QAnon, you're scared to even say them in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say in a negative way, the algorithm still may think that you're saying them in a positive way and punish you for it. And so that's what that thread was about. I was just like, can you guys, you know, because it's not just about me anymore. I have a channel and a lot of what I do is about going after misinformation. But, you know, I'm lucky in that I've got, you know, a big enough Twitter account and blue check or whatever that's worth these days and friends with big accounts that I can make a stink. But, like, what about regular people who can't even take on these issues? And you know what the right winger is going to do, right? Like they already, Trump's already, people are already doing it. There've been articles, you're creating these thousands of bot accounts on, you know, tens of thousands or whatever on Twitter, on YouTube, whatever. And if they end up taking those down. They try to put up new ones the next day. So it's only the people like me that will be trying to follow rules and avoid this stuff. And so we won't be doing the debunking, but they'll still be doing the lying, if you see what I'm saying.
Absolutely. No, I deal with this on Facebook.
Yeah,
I mean, I deal with this on Facebook because I'll get these notifications that someone's upset with something I posted 8 years ago. And I'm like, what in the world? And it's just some anonymous, yep. You know, this person is angry about this. And I've told Facebook, it's like, it's 8 years old. You want to take it down. I could care less. You know, but at the same time, what the frustrating part, and here's the part that I'm going to back you up all day long. These companies will give you a warning and then they make it hardly impossible that you can basically say, wait a minute, I want to fix this. How do I do that? And, you know, or I mean, right. I didn't do anything wrong here. How do I appeal this? They make it very difficult.
No, they do. And I mean, again, like, look, YouTube is it matters, right? Again, not me and my channel or whatever, but YouTube is part of Google. This is the largest search engine on earth. Okay? And so people go in there to search for all sorts of things. And if they're searching things about COVID and searching for things about elections and other items such as this, you know, Hillary Clinton and pizza parlors, right? And you can't, people can't debunk this absolute garbage sold by these dunderheads, you know what I mean? Who are peddling crap to try to for power or money or whatever their reasoning is. What position does that put the rest of us in?
Mm-hmm.
When we can't mention certain words to debunk them, right? As opposed to, like, if they can't create a system where they can tell the difference between the people that are proving that these are lies and the people that are sharing these lies, well, they're not doing a good enough job.
Cliff, I apologize once again for the script. This one's 100% on me.
No, seriously.
That one's on me. I apologize. You make my show better. I love talking with you about this stuff. There's so much we can talk about. I appreciate you clearing out your schedule and taking some time. It's always very appreciated, and thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. I love coming on here and chatting with you.
All right. Well,
it's something I look forward to. So thank you, man.
I'm going to start a petition that you have to move to Minneapolis because we'll just get rid of the East Coast, West Coast. We're going to move you here. We're going to put you in our town, and you're part of our city now, and that's just that. Okay.
It's kind of funny. I've dealt with a few people, clients and others lately, who are all from Minneapolis. I feel like I'm in this Minneapolis vortex, so you may get me.
Oh, well, hey, I'll take care of you. You get up here, I'll take care of you, all right? Cliff Schechter.
Sounds like a plan.
You bet. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. Once again, I'll link to the YouTube channel. I'll link to his great information. He is a very solid individual, and I'm very grateful. Thank you very much. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Thank you very much to Cliff Schechter for joining us. I appreciate that. I haven't screwed up the time zone thing in about 10 years, man. I haven't. Rookie mistake. 952-946-6205. Speaking of rookie mistakes, the angry log that is Dwayne Quam. The angry screaming log. That's screaming log. We'll call him this because he does look like a piece of wood. I mean, he really does. He is an old log. Representative Dwayne Quam. Once again, if you missed this little tidbit of joy we played earlier, let's go ahead and play this once again.
If Representative Quam would like a whole laundry list, the checklist that our county elections administrators come through to talk about the security of the equipment. We've already heard about that in committee, but if they need a reminder, that's fine. I'm sure that we have experts in this room that can talk about that checklist that they go through to make sure that our elections are secure.
Sure. I will ask Representative Frederick, and Representative Quam, I will ask the Secretary of State's office to provide us with a checklist of the checks and balances, and I will make sure it gets provided to committee members.
But there's more than the checks and balances.
Representative Quam,
then
hold
me out of the committee if you're not going to allow us to actually debate the darn bill.
Representative Altendorf, you have a question.
Mr. Chair, you need to let us.
Representative Quam, stop it.
No, I will not allow you to ignore valid questions.
Representative,
I didn't even get the answer to my first question. You said, no follow-ups. You need to actually cover the bill.
Representative Quam,
you didn't talk about all of the things that we got with observers and challengers. You have not talked about the fact that you don't have the balance between the two parties and election judges.
Calm response.
You have a lot of
here.
Stuff that's not explained, and this is not a trivial change. And if you don't care about the quality of the bills that you include, then you really, really are not doing the service to the citizens of the state of Minnesota. And I will not sit here to a travesty of pushing through stuff that there's not the details, the author can't answer questions, and you obfuscate and don't allow us to actually cover it.
You are creating motives, you are creating a...
No, I am pointing out the obvious.
Okay.
I am pointing out the obvious.
The motion was to lay the bill over. So Representative Frederick has renewed the motion that House File 550 has amended
and
laid over.
Questions, ignore valid concerns.
The bill is laid over.
And you just have a...
Okay, I'm going to turn over the chair to Vice Chair Greenman. Good luck with this one, Representative Greenman.
So I want to reserve a little recap. There, that was Republican Representative Screaming Log. I mean, Dwayne Quam, who the Screaming Log. Okay, I do like that. He asked a question. And if once again, we played the beginning part of that again earlier in the show, where the basically this person is like, well, we've already answered all this. We have all these people here. And Freiberg, who is the chair of the committee, is like, we'll get you the information on this. He then goes on to scream about ignoring valid questions. You know, people are not allowing people to actually debate. He's not allowing any follow-ups. He's cutting off the question. He's ignoring him. Now, it's very important that you remember this because it's going to be good. So Screaming Log Quam is ignoring the whiny little biatch. He says that you're ignoring valid questions. You're stopping actual debate. You're not allowing any follow-ups. You're cutting off the question and you're ignoring people. That's what he just said in that thing. Now, I brought up earlier in the show that this is the same Screaming Log that basically was part of the Republican House majority when Speaker Daudt put a mute button into the speaker's chair and was muting Democrats when they were talking to stop debate, all of those things. Ignore valid questions, stop actual debate, not allowing follow-ups, cutting off questions, and ignoring people. He had no problem with all that when he was there when Speaker Daudt was in charge with the mute button. We also should mention that this is the same Republican Party that back in October was screaming about how they were going to jam all this down our throat. But it was Brett Johnny on the spot over there who said, wait a second here, I remember Quam. Why do I remember Quam's name? Let's go back to 2018. This is from CNN. A Republican, Minnesota Republican, grabbed the microphone from his female opponent's hands during a forum earlier in the week. Video of the forum on Monday with GOP Representative Dwayne the Screaming Log Quam and his DFL party challenger, Jamie Malberg, gained some traction online for the apparently charged moment of the local race. The pair were sharing one microphone, and when Quam signaled he wanted to respond to one of Malberg's points, he grabbed the microphone out of her hands. When he was done, Quam basically threw the microphone back at her. The Minnesota newspaper said the yanking of the microphone away drew a gasp from the audience. And then Quam's toss at the end drew commotion. Malberg called the moment unexpected and told CNN in a phone interview that Quam had not apologized to her directly. It's just important that we treat each other respectfully, said Malberg. Well, not for Quam, because Quam's having a little bit of a moment in the corner that he is really sad about the fact that he is not in charge and not able to do this for everybody else. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Quam, who's vying for a fifth term at this point, he had said, you basically attributed the moments to nerves. Yeah, you got nerve, dude. I've got to say that. So let's just go back and apply the Quam standard to what happened in 2018. Did Quam ignore a valid question? Seems to have. Did Quam actually try to cut off actual debate? Yep, he did seem to do that. Did Quam basically try to prevent from there being any follow-ups? Kind of sounds like it. Did Quam cut off the person talking? Indeed, he did. And then did Quam ignore that individual? Yes. So we have just established that Dwayne the Screaming Log Quam is an absolute jackass. Hey, Dwayne, you want to come in on my show? Come on. Come on, big man. Man, I do mean. Come on, big guy. Come on, fella. I'll get you a bowl of mac and cheese. You can come and sit in here. You can have your mac and cheese, and then you can scream. I'll put the shield up. At that point, I don't want flecks of mac and cheese in my face. But I'll put the shield back up for that. You want to scream at people, Dwayne? Come try screaming at me, because I can tell you what, big man, I can scream a lot louder than you can. And I have no problem embarrassing the crap out of you, you massive hypocrite. You're a joke. And all you guys are jokes. As you talk about being a victim now, stop it. You're pathetic. You're whiny little mules over there. And you can't take what you like to dish out. You can't take it. You're the epitome of bullies. When you're in charge, you can't help but push people around. But then when you get put in your place, all of a sudden, let me to me. And it's not like, by the way, can I also mention, no one's really putting you in your place, you stupid idiot. They're trying to help you. The one guy said, your question basically we've already answered. We've got the experts here. We'll get you the reports from the Secretary of State's office. And that wasn't good enough for you. You're pathetic. And if there was any decency within your soul, you'd resign. Because your own history shows you're not there to help the people of Minnesota. You're there to basically force your agenda on other people. And God forbid someone says something the poor little boo-boo kitty don't like. Because the boo-boo kitty that is Dwayne the Screaming Log Quam, well, you hurt my feelings. I think he needs a juice box and a nap. He needs a juice box and a nap. Well, maybe he's been having too many juice boxes. I don't know. Someone needs to explain this. But we caught you, you hack. And if the media in this town had any sense, they'd go after him too, especially for what happened in 2018. Hour two up next. Hour number two of the show on your Wednesday. God, Quam is the gift that keeps on giving. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. God, just, you know, like I said, is there anything more predictable than a Republican who demands to be treated the exact opposite as they treat everyone else?
Yeah, it should come as no shock that he had that incident back in 2018. And lo and behold, here we are in 2023.
I want to get your thoughts on this because this has to go into the sports world and it's a little bit disappointing in what happened with the Minnesota Wild here. The NHL and its allies have yet again reached a crossroads, leaving fans to wonder where more of the league's Hockey is for Everyone initiative is anything more than empty words. This time around, it was the Minnesota Wild, while celebrating Pride Night for the second time in the club's history, find themselves in hot water for taking an enormous step in the wrong direction. Despite announcements by the club to wear and later auction off Pride-themed warm-up jerseys against the Calgary Flames, the organization reportedly opted against doing so at the last minute, calling off the jerseys just hours before the puck dropped. While some players did show support during warm-ups, including using Pride-themed tape and pucks, the move to exclude the jerseys sends a clear message that the NHL still has a lot of work to do on its social advocacy campaigns. The decision to drop the jerseys is yet another troubling revelation amidst the season rife with inflection points on hockey's stance on diversity and inclusivity. Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Ivan Provorov brought the issue to the forefront after he sat out warmups, refused to wear the Flyers' pride-themed jersey back in January. The move, widely criticized around the hockey world, eventually opened the floodgates for others to do the same. Multiple teams took Provorov's cue and followed suit. Later in January, the New York Rangers opted against wearing a pride-themed warm-up jersey. Then, less than 2 weeks later, the New York Islanders did the same due to supposed organizational stance. In Minnesota's case, however, that means they chose to go about the process makes things even murkier. In addition to wearing the jerseys, the club had reportedly planned to auction them off as well, presumably to donate the proceeds to LGBTQIA+ causes. The auction, a combination with the mention of the jerseys from their websites, were quietly scrubbed prior to the puck drop with no word from the team on the matter. As for the team's stance, the Wild released a statement before puck drop, but neglected to directly acknowledge the jersey incident. The Wild organization is proud to continue our support of, well, okay, I'll read the whole, this is their statement here. The Wild organization is proud to continue their support of the LGBTQIA+ community by hosting our second annual Pride Night tonight, which we are celebrating in many ways, the release reads. It's important to host nights like this to show all players, fans, and the LGBTQIA+ community that hockey is for everyone. Did you hear about this at all?
I did not know, but that's not a great look necessarily.
Well, it's a really bad look.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really bad look because once again, it's just a freaking warm-up jersey. You want me to wear a warm-up jersey, say for we had Betty Folliard on yesterday for the ERA. If you want me to do it an hour, my first hour in an ERA for Minnesota jersey, and we auction it off, I have no problem with that. I mean, I'm not going to, like, Satan worshipers, no, I'm not going to do that. Trump fans, no, I'm not going to do a MAGA hat. Although, I mean, if I did wear that, I bet we could get a lot, with a can of lighter fluid to go along with it. We might be onto something there.
Could have had after the
Well, we had a lot of people actually offering to buy my NRA membership card. Remember that?
Oh, yes, that's right. They didn't renew your membership, did they?
They didn't do that. Apparently not. I don't think they did that. Anywho, that's what I find perplexing about this, is that no one on the team wanted to wear these jerseys. That's what you're saying, is that the entire team as a whole said, no, we're not going to wear these jerseys, which, by the way, were pretty cool jerseys last year, at least. I don't know if they had the same jerseys, but they were pretty cool. You warm up in them, you make a few bucks, you talk to an element of the community, which is, 10% of the population, maybe even larger, and you tell them you're welcome here, but they, the fact that they basically shut this down without any notification is a really bad sign. And I think the question has to be asked, did the team openly say, no, we do not support the LGBTQIA+ community? I mean, is that what we're saying here? Is it, 'cause it kind of, that's what it sounds like, they are saying. I don't think you find the one guy who is really this guy for the Flyers who is, clearly has some issues, and you base your entire NHL policy on that.
And I don't think they really are going to get any right-wing blowback for wearing pride jerseys. We've heard for years saying, well, this league is going down because they support so-and-so. And they most all, sports leagues are doing just fine. The NFL had record ratings. The NHL's doing fine. I mean, you might get some right-wingers angry, but it's not going to impact your business if that's what they're concerned about.
If I'm not mistaken, Republicans are supposed to be purposely and full-time boycotting the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, the NHL, all of these programs, all of these sports leagues, they're supposed to be boycotting. I think they're even supposed to be boycotting NASCAR because they wouldn't let them put the Let's Go Brandon car into the race. They wanted to put a Let's Go Brandon car in the race, and then NASCAR said they couldn't do that, and they're supposed to be boycotting that. So they're already boycotting you anyway, along with everything else because snowflakes. But I need some answer here from the Minnesota Wild. What the hell happened here? Why all of a sudden, at the very last second, did you basically... You're saying no one on the team wanted to wear the jerseys? I want to also, if I can, go to this statement. The Minnesota Wild organization is proud to continue our support of the LGBTQIA plus community. All right. First of all, clearly you're not. Okay? It's one thing to have some signage in the stadium. This is a minor thing. And the fact that this blew up in your face, don't come on out there and say, we're proud, but we're not that proud that we're going to have the warm-up jerseys, which you clearly already had ready to go. You know, so we're not that proud of it. We're proud, but we're not that proud. We're going to show support, but not that level of support. Yeah, you know, you said Pride Night tonight, which we're celebrating in many ways. Well, but you're already pulling back on ways because I guess you don't want to look too much like you're supporting the LGBTQIA plus community. It's important to host nights like this to show all players, fans, and the LGBTQIA community that hockey is for everyone. When you say it like that, are you saying that? Are you calling out your own players? Is that what you're doing? And I don't know. Part of me wants to know, did every player say no way in hell we're going to wear these jerseys? Which then I think you can basically take your LGBTQIA plus pandering and jam it up your backside because you clearly don't support that community. But yeah, I'm a little bit, I'm very disappointed in you guys. I'm very disappointed. I understand this is tough guy sports and stuff like this. And, you know, I don't know if you remember when they started doing the pink for breast cancer. Do you remember that? Some players refused to wear that because pink's a girl color. Remember that? And Major League Baseball, I think, was the first one to do it. And they basically said, you either wear it or you sit. Your call. And the guys went out there and they played with it. Now, the idea of not wearing, having one game or one week each year where everyone's decked out in pink gear for mom is kind of ludicrous. Everyone does it. They do the same thing. No matter what the sport is, they sell the jerseys. They basically raise a ton of money. It seems to me, I guarantee you, I'm pretty sure the Wild must have that. They must do that. Pink jerseys for breast cancer awareness?
I mean, even college amateur sports do that. Yeah, everybody does. You're right.
But here all of a sudden now, this is, you know, you want the LGBTQIA plus communities. You want their money. You want them to sit, you pay for the tickets. You want them to buy your $15 beers and your $10 hot dogs. You want them to buy your merchandise. But heaven forbid you actually have some players show some support. And no, I don't give me this. The puck and the tape was in support. The puck and the tape was in support of the LGBTQIA community. Come on. This is deeply disappointing. This is deeply disappointing because this is not difficult. And in case you also, and by the way, NHL, can I just say this, and the Minnesota Wild particularly, can I make the point? Right now, we clearly have the Republican, the far-right people of this country who have lost Roe v. Wade now. and they don't want to talk about abortion. They're trying to get it. They're trying to find another, you know, pseudo extremist religion issue that they can basically run with. And so they're attacking transgender people and going after them. That's the, that would be the T in the LGBTQIA plus community. That would be the T. And right now, state after state is out there purposely and intentionally passing laws to discriminate against transgender people. Right now is the time for people to show their support. And if the Minnesota Wild needs some help, may I turn your attention to the governor of the state of Minnesota. He issued an executive order on Wednesday protecting access to gender-affirming health care for transgender Minnesotans, a direct response to recent legislative action in states such as Iowa and South Dakota to ban that care for children and their families. It's being led by bullies, and I say this as a teacher, we cannot stand bullies, the DFL governor said during a signing ceremony for the order. Nothing to gain for themselves, not following any factual data, and essentially using the state apparatus to bring cruelty. That's exactly what they're doing. If you're following the medical industry, they all think transgender care is the right path to go on. This is a bunch of far right-wing loon balls basically saying, hate transgender people, and that's all it is. The order aims to make Minnesota a refuge for people seeking health care designated to affirm their gender identity by protecting patients and providers from extradition orders and keeping their data private. State agencies will communicate with healthcare systems around the requirements under the order. Its aim is similar to proposals introduced in the DFL-controlled legislature, but supporters say the recent proposals in other states prompted the need for emergency action as the bills make their way through the process. This situation is escalating too rapidly in the United States against trans and gender expansive people and do not use every tool we have to protect them, said Representative Lee Finke, DFLer from St. Paul, the first transgender legislator who's sponsoring the measure. On Tuesday, the Iowa Senate passed a proposal to ban doctors in the state from performing gender-affirming surgeries, as well as for providing hormone therapy and puberty blockers to someone younger than 18. Eight states have passed laws or policies banning gender-affirming care, led by Republican lawmakers who argue the policies protect children and families from permanent changes they couldn't regret later. By the way, I was reading a story about this. How often is that regret in there? Hardly ever. At all. As a matter of fact, so minuscule, because to do this requires a lot of counseling. It's not, there is no impulse here. That's what the Republicans try to make the argument for. This is something that is years in the making to get there, to make sure the individual isn't just, you know, maybe doesn't understand what they're wanting to do here, that they want to make sure they understand exactly the consequences of the action. There is no rush to this. The medical industry has signed off on these issues. It's horrible. From the Minnesota Family Council, get ready for some, yeah. So-called gender-affirming healthcare, it is in reality a way in the medical establishment victimizes vulnerable young people, often with lifelong negative health effects. I want to stop this right here. What victimizes vulnerable young people, often with lifelong negative health effects, is a right-wing stooge basically telling them, you have to do it the way I tell you to do it, or else we will throw your parents in jail, we'll throw you in jail, we will run you from the town, we will run you from the state. That victimizes vulnerable young people, often with lifelong negative health effects. The fact that this guy from the Minnesota Family Council is using those languages to try to argue that against this issue just shows you how truly evil the people against the transgender and gender fluidity are. I mean, the fact that they themselves knowingly will victimize people and torture people and scream at them that you're not there. And they think that is good. Wow. Just The American Medical Association recently sent a letter to the National Governors Association urging state leaders to oppose proposals dictating care between physicians and patients, calling gender-affirming care medically necessary for transgender people who have faced who face increased risk of anxiety, stress, substance use disorder, and suicide. Dr. Kelly Leonard-Smith, who provides gender-affirming care at Family Tree Clinic in Minneapolis, said they've seen desperate families relocating to Minnesota to prevent disruptions in their children's care. Our staff, many of whom themselves are transgender people, are fielding heartbreaking calls from families who are terrified, she said. It's just horrifying that in 2023, families are being made refugees within the United States of America. While the far right goes, yay, yay, torment and torture. That's what Jesus wanted us to do, torment and torture. Now, I commend Governor Tim Walz, as he quite eloquently put it out there. Nothing to gain for themselves, not following any factual data, and essentially using the state's apparatus to bring cruelty is what he said about these states that are passing these anti-trans bills. It's being led by bullies, and I say this as a teacher, we cannot stand bullies. So the question I have for the Minnesota Wild is, do you have bullies in your locker room? Do you? Do you have people there saying, none of us can wear these jerseys? Is that what's going on? Because if your point was to try to sweep this under the rug, I'm not going to let this go. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Okay, when I come back, I'm going to. Oh gosh, Mary Moriarty is. I'm going to grossly disagree with something that she's doing. I'll talk about that when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Lisa making the point, this is not bullies, it's just cowardice. I don't know. You have no problem taking their money. You have no problem taking the LGBTQIA plus community's money. You don't have any problem at all taking the money. That money is... that money is perfectly welcome within your coffers. But, yeah. 952-946-6205. So, I have, due to personal reasons, I have taken a little bit more of a cause that we need to make sure that we have punishments that fit the crime. Now, I have, if you've been a fan of this show, and I have talked for many years, we clearly need, reforming our justice system. That the idea that police officers can trump up some charges on an African-American, Native American, Hispanic, Latino, Asian individual just to throw them in jail for an extended period of time, that's wrong. It's wrong to have people who are busted with a bag of marijuana being chucked into jail for 40 years because third time's a charm, you're out. I don't think that that does any grand value. And clearly when you look at the way that the sentencing goes for minority people versus white people, whether the whole process, the policing from the front end to the legal side of it, it's clear there's mistakes. The Stallings tape, for God's sakes, the Stallings tape, where they open fire on the guy in an unmarked van and then beat him in the street. The prosecuting office knew he was innocent and still tried to get him to take an 8-year plea deal. He was found not guilty on all charges. He didn't do anything wrong. But yet, the system is broken. Now, I have often made the argument the solution is not to go to the other extreme. There's this feeling like, well, we're not going to hold anybody accountable, and aren't we going to be the greatest thing ever? No, no. You need to fix these problems without becoming an absolute laughingstock. I like Mary Moriarty, the new Hennepin County attorney. I like her. I voted for her. I live in Hennepin County. I voted for her. I thought she was the better candidate. I am deeply disagreeing with what's going on in this case, which was described in the Star Tribune. When a young mother was found slain in a Brooklyn Park apartment complex last fall, it took homicide detectives little time to unravel the case. Under the cover of darkness, charges say, two teenage boys kicked in the door, confronted Zaria McKeever at the behest of her jealous ex-boyfriend. The 15 and 17-year-old brothers brandished a borrowed handgun, the younger one allegedly firing the fatal shots that cut the woman down that he barely knew. Now, I want to make sure we understand this. Very clearly going to admit, yep, 15 and 17 years old, they were young. They kicked open the door of the house with the intent of killing this woman. And sure, they were acting under orders of their friend, but they murdered somebody. They broke into her house and murdered her. I think we all can say this would be one of those cases where, yeah, there needs to be some punishment. Surveillance video, witness statements, physical evidence helped tie them to the crime scene. Prosecutors moved to certify the minors as adults so they could stand trial for second-degree murder alongside with Eric Haynes, the 22-year-old man suspected of orchestrating the home invasion as well. All right, I think we all should be in agreement. Yep, all right, we've got three people here that need to go to jail. And yes, I'm very aware 15 years old is pretty young. I am of the mindset that if a person is 15 years old and they get a sentence, they get tried as an adult, they're sentenced to, say, 10 years in prison, that they serve the next 3 years in juvenile detention, and then once they turn 18, they are moved into the prison system. I do not think that it's a good idea to take a 15-year-old and put them in an adult jail. I do not. And so this is not sort of saying, I'm putting this guy on death row. I'm saying, understood, these are minors. They committed a crime, though, that's so heinous. They should be tried as adults. And if convicted, whatever their sentence is, until they're 18, they're in juvenile hall, and then they can go into the regular prison. But that would be the case. That would be the way I'd look at it. That's not what's going on. Last month, Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty abruptly changed course, offering the teens a plea deal in exchange for their testimony against Haynes. Let me take a break. Come on back. I'll break the story down more, and I'll explain very explicitly how you cannot go too far down the other path, because the solution for a broken system is not to make a non-existent system. You got to find that middle ground, which basically says, well, at the very least, when someone kicks open some door and murders someone, I'm not going to be looking to give the person freaking probation. I'll break it down a little bit more when we do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So a 22-year-old man, Eric Haynes, convinced a 15 and a 17-year-old to kick in the door of Zaria McKeever and murder her, which they did. The 15-year-old pulled the trigger. This is not really in debate. The surveillance video, witness statements, physical evidence, they seem to have plenty enough evidence to go to trial with this. My guess would be if you tried them as adults, that they would get probably a 10-year sentence, at least. That would be, yeah, at least that's the way I would interpret it. But Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty has abruptly changed course, offering the teens a plea deal in exchange for their testimony against Haynes. If they choose to cooperate, now, I'm going to read this to you, and I'm already going to know that even though I am talking to a fairly progressive audience out there and a few, you know, rage listeners from the right, as I talk to you, and you're, most of you are progressives, most of you are going to be like, what are you charging these people with? What are you going to give them? I want to prep you for this. If they choose to cooperate, the two boys who murdered this girl, kicked in her door and shot her, both boys would avoid a lengthy adult prison sentence, instead serve 2 years in juvie hall. Now, I will point out the 17-year-old would, are you saying at 19 he'd still be in juvie hall? Because to me, that seems like then at when he turns 18, he should be moved to a regular prison, right? That juvenile hall is not for people to avoid adult prison. That's for people prior to being adults being held. So that's not really clear. They'd serve 2 years at the juvenile correction facility in Red Wing before going home on what's called an intense form of extended probation lasting until their 21st birthday. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. They murdered somebody. They murdered somebody. We had Potter, Kim Potter. Can you do me a favor really quick? Find out how long Kim Potter, the officer up there who accidentally shot Dante Wright, how long was she sentenced for? I can't remember it off the top of my head.
2 years, it says.
2 years. Same amount of time. She, we said extensively on this show, yes, it was an accident. I have, you know, really don't deny that it was an accident. She still murdered somebody, whether she wants to admit it or not, and she went to jail under 2 years. That's not this. That is not this in Brooklyn Park. This is two people kicking open a door with the intent to murder somebody. And in truth, they're going to get an easier sentence than Kim Potter did. That doesn't make any damn sense. That, hey, once again, I'm not saying you lock them up for life. I know there are some people on the right that probably make the argument that they should be. No. And no, I'm not saying that if you charge them as adults, which I think you should in this case, that these two kids should basically go immediately into the adult prison. No. I'm very clear. Keep them in juvie hall until they're 18, then move them to prison to finish out the rest of their term. But 2 years and what can be basically described as super duper secret probation while they sit at home and what? Watch SpongeBob? In their own house? Getting Grubhub delivered to them? That's not a punishment. With all due respect, Mary, that is not a punishment. You and I get, okay. This is a bad idea. This is a bad precedent. I could make an argument that something like this, if you captured a 15 and a 17-year-old who were stealing Kias, and they're hot wiring Kias and then evading police, that this sounds like a fine sentence for them. You're going to go to jail. You've stolen a car, grand theft auto. So you're going to go to jail for 2 years, or juvie hall for 2 years, and then you can go home and you're on super duper secret probation until you're 21. That's not murder. And don't get me wrong, I'm not belittling the car theft issue. I'm not. But that would be, that's not the penalty you give to someone who murdered somebody on what is basically a contract hit. He basically were sent over there and got it. Eric Haynes is 22 years old. He's the one that basically coordinated this. Absolutely. Charge him, give him the biggest sentence. But you can't give a slap on the wrist to the actual murderers. You cannot do that. The case marks a seismic shift in how the state's largest county attorney's office handles youth violence and also fulfills a core campaign promise by Moriarty, the former chief public defender who earned the resounding victory to become the top prosecutor last fall by preaching the merits of criminal justice reform. And I've talked about that. Undeniably, we do need to have criminal justice reform, but we still need to hold murderers accountable. Before taking office, she pledged to limit the number of petitions seeking adult certification with the intent of offering teens more services within the juvenile system. Once again, fine for stealing a catalytic converter or taking a Kia. Absolutely. But not for murder. The decision incensed McKeever's family and many community members who felt betrayed by what they viewed as a lack of accountability for the killers and a miscarriage of justice for survivors, especially the one-year-old daughter McKeever left behind. Yeah, I understand it's a one-year-old. I want you to explain when that kid is 16 years old why the people that murdered her mom are not serving any time. Now, once again, maybe that's 16 years, I mean 15 years there. I think we can come up with a pretty decent sentence here that gets some accountability, but doesn't throw these people in jail for the rest of their lives. Her stepfather, Paul Greer, it was choked down her throat without any concern about how we felt. We will not stand for it. Assistant Hennepin County Attorney Leah Erickson, who spent months aggressively pursuing criminal charges against the teens, told McKeever's family that she voluntarily removed herself from the state case for the case to protest. Erickson declined to comment. In an interview, this is where it gets nuts. In an interview, Moriarty defended her decision and her overall approach to prosecuting juveniles, citing research on adolescent brain development that suggests a child's mind is not fully formed until the age of 25. Our goal is to treat kids like kids, she said, noting that incarceration can lead to worse outcomes for teens who often come back out a greater threat to public safety. They're murderers. I don't know. We know that kids that age are impressionable, they're impulsive, they're easily manipulated, subjected to peer pressure. That manipulation combined with the suspected gunman's age and lack of criminal record played a significant role in her decision. It's pretty clear that it was Haynes' idea, Moriarty said. He gave them the gun, he drove them over there, waited in the car, and disposed of the gun afterwards. Once again, not saying that Haynes shouldn't go to jail. But these two murdered McKeever. They murdered her. I'm not a lawyer. I can only comment on things I observe, stories I read, situations here. I am 54 years old. I have read more than enough cases of prosecutorial abuse and the targeting of the minority community because of you know, in this effort to get white justice. I without a doubt can argue that there definitely needs to be some changes. But we're talking about murderers. And I understand he was 15 years old. But this isn't some rapscallion or scamp. The kid kicked open the door. The kids kicked open the door. And they unloaded the gun into McKeever and murdered her. You cannot do this. You look like a joke. This is the epitome of this movement. This is one of the guys out in San Francisco, the attorney out there, who basically, because they were so desperate to go to the other extreme, was not even trying to hold people accountable for their actions. This isn't stealing a car. This isn't cutting off a catalytic converter. This isn't having a fight in a school. This is murder. They murdered somebody. And you're talking about they didn't know what they were doing. My daughter is 15. She plays trombone in the band. She's on student council. She gets really good grades. She has friends. She's social. She knows the thing between right and wrong. And if I called her right now and I asked the question, do you know not to murder somebody? I'm pretty sure she would answer, yeah, you're not supposed to murder somebody. Because if your argument is brain development, we're not talking about whether they understand geometry. We should not have a standard when a 15-year-old murders somebody that we say, well, but he has hard concepts with his English, so we can't really hold him accountable. I am stunned by this. And once again, I will be the first to say, that do you put them into jail for a 20, 25-year sentence? No. But, and hey, I have no problem with you making the argument. You know what? We need to charge Hange with a bigger crime. Got it. No problem. 100% understand. Getcha. But you cannot deny that a 2-year juvie hall stint and then Uber Eats and Netflix is not exactly a fair punishment for a murderer. It's not. It just isn't. And you put him in jail for 7. And once again, they go to juvie hall until they turn 18. Then they go to regular prison. At least it feels like there are going to be some level of consequence for murdering somebody. And granted, I think you can... Mary, if your first thought is, well, the person that murdered somebody's brain's not really developed, so I can't really charge them. You're making a gross mistake and you will not survive. Not only would I say you're not going to get reelected, my argument is that you might get recalled, because this is not, I want tort reform. I don't want slaps on the wrist for murderers. Dear Lord. I'll take Walt. Let's get Walt in South Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on Moriarty. Welcome on in, Walt.
Hi. Yes. Now, first, I want to thank you for your comments about gender equity earlier. But getting to this more recent topic, and I did vote for Mary with all the best hopes.
I did too.
And I just want to say there's a detail. If I read the article correctly in the paper this morning, there's a detail that further illustrates this, or in some regard, and that is that 22-year-old apparently wants to do a hit, but doesn't want to do it himself, allegedly, and instead contracts for two children to do it for him, and the hit was supposed to be on the new boyfriend who jumped out of the bathroom window. And the 15-year-old didn't even, he bundled, didn't even do what he was told to do. That's my comment. Take care.
Thank you, Walt. It's, they went there to murder somebody. They went there to murder somebody. They kicked in the door. And then they murdered Zarya. You can't do this. Come on. You can't do this. You've got to have some accountability for the most heinous of crimes. And when you sit there and you're I can see you wrapping yourself in your freaking nobility that you don't want them to come out back out a greater threat to public safety. They're already murderers. They're already a great threat to society. My gut feeling is this. Your chance of having something horrible happen is much greater by putting them on super secret probation at home versus locking them up. And I can tell you right now, every right-wing person in this state is going to be paying attention to these two kids and making sure that if they step out of line once, that basically they're going to have the decent argument of saying, well, you know, this is what you get when you basically have no accountability. You can fix the problem without going to the other extreme, because both extremes are wrong. You got to find some middle ground there, which holds people accountable for such things as murder without necessarily factoring in the fact, okay, they're 15. Okay, we're going to have them serve 7 years as opposed to 12. That's reform. I just don't get this. This is a bad idea. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. There are bad people that do bad things, and they do need to be held accountable. And we're not talking about an 8-year-old who found his dad's gun and accidentally shot his cousin. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a 15-year-old who, with intent, kicked open the door of an apartment and gunned someone down. I'm not saying you lock him up for life, but you can't just give him 2 years of juvie hall and sitting at home to mom's home cooking for the 4 years after that and think you've got a decent punishment. Speaking of crimes, a St. Paul man was assaulted a friend after a Minneapolis comedy show last month, tried to blame the man's fatal injuries on the fall on the ice, according to a new criminal charges. Paul Lindbergh, 37, this guy's a peach. He's charged with one count of first-degree manslaughter. The victim was 32-year-old Nicholas Towner Upshur. According to the criminal complaint, the police were notified on February 13th that Towner Upshur was hospitalized at Northwest Auburn Hospital under suspicious circumstances. He died shortly afterwards. Investigators learned that Towner Upshur had attended a comedy show with Lindbergh and a few other friends on February 10th. Lindbergh and another friend told hospital staff and later the Towner Upshur's family that Towner Upshur had slipped on the ice and hit his head after a minor scuffle. Hospital staff determined Lindbergh's story was inconsistent with Towner Upshur's injuries. Chargers state surveillance footage captured on the 1,000 block of Washington Avenue South shows Lindbergh chasing Towner Upshur down an alley and attacking him at around 9 p.m. on February 10th. Towner Upshur falls to his side and stands back up before Lindbergh kicks him back to the ground. According to the complaint, when Towner Upshur tried to get away, Lindbergh is literally shown punching him and knocking him to the ground again. Charges state the video shows Towner Upshur's head snapping back as a result of the punch. Lindbergh is allegedly holding Towner Upshur down and punching before Towner Upshur becomes motionless. Slipped on the ice. The complaint states Lindbergh and another friend are shown standing around Towner Upshur's motionless body, intermittently inspecting him until Lindbergh uses his phone to call his girlfriend to pick them up. While waiting more than 20 minutes for her to arrive, Lindbergh and the other friend continue to stand around Towner Upshur's body, not helping him. Surveillance footage shows it took them 4 minutes to load the body into the vehicle before Lindbergh's girlfriend, who is a nurse, drives them away. She should have her license taken away. Despite Hennepin County Medical Center being 6 blocks from the assault location, they traveled all the way to Abbott Northwestern, which is an 11-minute drive from downtown. They arrived at the hospital 40 minutes after the assault. At the hospital, Lindbergh is shown on surveillance footage taking Towner Upshur's limp body out of the car, placing him into a wheelchair, according to the charges. Towner Upshur is completely motionless. He's rolled up to the hospital. Afterwards, Lindbergh is allegedly shown grabbing his girlfriend by the collar, dragging her behind the column to hide from the hospital staff, pulling her close to his face to speak to her sternly. The group left Towner Upshur at the hospital and drove away 5 minutes after they arrived. He was arrested Tuesday after being sentenced to probation for raping a woman. Yeah, he's a peach. But, I mean, I don't know. Will Mary Moriarty charge this guy, as he should be, with murder? I hope he does. She does. We'll take it. Well, we're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.